This morning we will continue in our series on Mark, this signaling the last bit of the period that we call Epiphany. We will next week begin to a series on forgiveness, and then we'll come back during Holy Week and all the services midday during Holy Week, as well as Maundy Thursday evening, and then Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday itself. We will go back to Mark and finish up what we're going to do in the Gospel of Mark. But this morning, if you want to read together on the passage, you can either read it up above or in your pew Bibles on page 52, which I'm hardly able to find in my Bible this morning. There it is. Good. The first Lord's Supper, many of you know, took place in the midst of the Passover meal between Jesus and his 12 disciples. It's called the Seder. And in this meal, Jesus, serving as the head of the household, had been the one who was prompting by the walking with them through the liturgy of the Passover, this Seder meal. And he would have been prompting them to look at each of the meal items, the different foods that are part of Passover. And any of you who have been to a Seder meal before, you know that each one of those is symbolic of something that was true of the Jewish people when they were under the thumb of Egypt as slaves in bondage to Egypt. And so Jesus, in leading them through this liturgy, calling to remembrance each dish's symbolic importance, came at last to the last of the foods. And it's the last thing that he would have held up before they would have entered into the full eating of the meal. And the last of the foods was, of course, the least notable. It was the bread, which would become really their utensil for the eating of the rest of the meal. And that's where we pick up our passage today in Mark chapter, I lost it again, Mark chapter 14 on page 52. Hear the word of God. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." This is the word of the Lord. Just after the second cup of four cups in Passover, Jesus takes up the bread and he holds it up before them. This bread was called the bread of affliction because it called to mind the fact that God had said to them, the Jewish people, "I'm about to set you free, and when the moment of freedom comes, you must go at once. So do not make for yourself on that night leavened bread. Put no yeast in this bread because it will not have time to rise. You'll need to take it, this unleavened bread, and run." And so they associated in their mind the thumb of oppression, how hard it had been to be under the oppression of Egypt, and God urging them urgently to be ready to go, to fly out the door and grab the bread on the way. Jesus took the bread. He took hold of it as something given by his Father, and he accepted it as the bread of suffering for himself as well. So first of all, he took the bread. And then in the second of the four great verbs that are used here, he blessed the bread. Some of you've probably heard me talk before about 18 benedictions or blessings that the Jewish people all would learn as they were growing up in first century Palestine. Shemona, it's called, or the Amidah. Today, there are actually 19 blessings because one was added in the years after the fall of Jerusalem. But at the time, there were 18. And one of those begins this way. Blessed art thou, Lord God, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. And we can be pretty sure that that's what Jesus prayed as he took the bread and he blessed it. And what the Hebrew people have believed, and I believe still today believe, is that when you would bless God, knowing that God, out of the same area that you're praising him for, will do something reflective, or that it will, something will come upon the thing that you're asking for his blessing on. So there's a blessing of praise to God and then a blessing expected to come from God. And their expectation was that something was happening even as he prayed this blessing. It's a time of surrender for Jesus as well, in which he is giving his life to the Father, saying, I trust you to do something beyond here, what I in my full humanity am able to do. Certainly something more than what these men who gather around me in this upper room can do. God, I surrender because only you are the one who can bless. So he blesses the Father and expects the blessing of the Father upon the bread to do something far beyond what we could ask or think. So he takes the bread and then he blesses it and then he breaks it. This is the part I think that's the most mysterious to us, because for one thing, that we don't understand the sweep of salvation history well enough to know that this is actually the key to the kingdom of God. As C.S. Lewis says twice in his magnificent book, The Great Divorce, he says, nothing can ever enter into this kingdom of God unless it has died. That is the nature of what it means to be living in a fallen world, that anything here has to have the corruption killed out of it in order to be pure and part of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is after this here. He is talking about how that this bread must be broken. He's talking about brokenness, the way of the kingdom. Unless a seed goes down into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it can bear much fruit. Unless you lose your life, you cannot gain it. Only he who hates his life will receive the blessing of his life. These mysterious sayings are about somehow that something must die in order for it to come to its full fruit. And of course, in this instance, he's talking about himself. That unless he dies in the crucifixion, well, the goodness of salvation will never be ours. So he's picturing the breaking of his own life, going down into the ground, dying, that life might come. He takes the bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and then he gives it. Now, these four terms are used in Matthew, Mark, and Luke over and over again, as if it were the formula or the liturgy, that's the backbone of the liturgy for the Lord's Supper, even in the first century AD. To take, to bless, to break, and then to give. And what he says about the giving is that he gives himself. When the Hebrew people talk about that something about the body, it meant the whole person, the embodied soul, the nefesh chaya, the living soul, which is always embodied. Jesus is saying, that I give myself to you, my body. And when we trust in Him and receive Him, it's been the belief in the Reformed Church and many other churches as well, that something more than remembering happens. When you are fed from the table in just a few minutes, you can remember that Jesus died for you, but you miss part of the wonder if you don't also believe it's a seal. That is, that God is at work in the moment, doing something in you, probably invisible. You may be conscious of it and you may not, but that He's at work sealing the benefits of His cross into your life. That you would be given to and discover that you're in communion with Him. Now, after supper, after the eating of the meal, Jesus then turned to the liturgy once again of Passover, and He took the third cup. And many times you'll hear me refer to, this is the third, refers to the third cup of Passover, which was the cup of thanksgiving. And in the cup of thanksgiving, what happened was they would be remembering in the liturgy all the mighty acts of God. Listen to actually the words of the liturgy used by the Hebrew people. Jesus rose from His reclining position, no doubt, and then would have said to them, "Speak praises to our God, to whom belongs what we have eaten." To which the disciples would have replied, "Praised be our God for the food we have eaten." Then Jesus would take up the third cup of Passover, the cup that gives thanks for these mighty acts of God by which He delivers them from slavery. And He would have taken the cup in His right hand, and while looking at it would have said to them, "May the all-merciful One make us worthy of the days of the Messiah and of the life of the world to come." He brings the salvation of His King. He shows covenant love to His anointed, to David, and to His seed forever. He makes peace in His heavenly places. May He secure peace for us and for all Israel. And say ye, Amen. And then He would have passed the cup for each of them to drink from it. In all of this, the allusion or the speaking forth is about the time of the new covenant. And when we partake of the cup, we believe that the new covenant is here. That means the Holy Spirit has been given to each one of you who trust in Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells within you, bringing to you the very knowledge of who Jesus is, that you might commune with Him. He brings to you the fullness of the sense that you are forgiven for your sins. He brings to you a burning passion in your heart for the Word of God. These are the benefits of the crucifixion that we're reminded of in the cup. Notice, once again, the same pattern. Take. Bless. Pour out. Give. The same pattern. I would simply want to leave you this morning with a thought. There is warrant here for believing that this is not only to that we would be drawn back to communion as often as possible to take communion because of the benefits that accrue to us by the participation in it, because Christ is here and doing something in us. But also that this is a liturgy, if you will, for your life, for my life. Take hold of what the Father is giving you. Bless. Bless the Father for giving it. Bless. Ask God for God's blessing upon what it is He's giving. Brokenness. That your life would know the brokenness, the sharing in the sufferings of Christ, that you might be all that you were meant to be. And then finally, to give it away to someone else. I don't know if any of that has any meaning to you in your life right now, but I trust that something here is of value to you and that God wants you to hear it and obey it. To that end, let us pray. Lord God, we ask of you that you would extend to us this day our Lord Jesus Christ, honestly. We bless you for the giving of your Son on our behalf. We know that He is broken before our eyes on the cross. His blood is poured out on our behalf. Lord, we take this unto us and give it to others. You have given it to us. Now we want to pass it on to others. Lord, may it be that we would be carriers of the grace of God found in this communion service this day. For we pray in the beloved name of Jesus. Amen.